Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, coming at you from the Locked On NBA Network.
Oh, yeah.
And we're with you here. We're here with you 5 days a week, but today is the best day of the week.
It's Twitter Tuesday, baby.
It's Twitter Tuesday, so we're going to be talking... We're going to be talking clips. We're going to be taking questions. If you hear us laughing, interacting, just know that that could have been you if you tuned into the live stream. We do it every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific. Check it out at Locked On Clips.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever want to ask a question but are unable to tune in,
hit us up.
Please hit us up at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. And also, watch the replay of the Twitter thing. It's a good time. You can see everybody's comments. You can write down witty comebacks that you can have next time. It'll be great.
Yeah, our reruns get a bunch of views. Before we get into this, we want to give a shout out to Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is nicer than whatever you are wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word. All right, so the first segment today, we got to talk about Paul George going through non-contact drills.
Yeah.
Which is all the footage we've seen.
Looks good.
He looks good. He's going through drills. He's not going in other players, which I think everyone's pretty happy to see. But it definitely, he's going through what looks like pre-game workouts.
Yeah.
Not that he's getting ready for games. 6 weeks was the timeline that was first reported. The surgery happened around early May. So by opening night, that's going to be around 5.5 months since the surgery went down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think...
So six weeks you're referring to 6 weeks of the start of the season or 6 weeks total to recover from the injury?
6 weeks of the start of the season. But my thing was, with it being 5.5 months out, do we think that six-week window could be shorter now?
I think that it could be shorter. I'm still of the opinion, like... I would be very surprised if he was in the season opener. And maybe even a little concerned.
It's just things aren't,
No, it's it's great to see him going through contact drills and resuming basketball activities. I guess it just depends. You know, if the training staff comes to the decision that he's ready to go, if he feels confident again in his shot and the shoulder,
yeah.
I think it's good. But it's one of those things that, like, it can be a nagging injury if you don't take care of it properly the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just feel like we have the luxury of sending him out at the beginning of the season. As people get more and more banged up, I don't think we're going to have that same luxury down the stretch.
For sure.
Also, every team is kind of on an even keel at the start of the season. You know what I mean?
Oh, injury to stars-wise.
Yeah, and even bad teams aren't, like, fully belly up, like, not trying. You know, everybody is trying at the start of the season.
Yeah, which is why the Lakers might give us a problem in that opening game. Yeah, I'm fine with it getting cut, you know, less than that 6 weeks. I think everyone would be good. I still, as of 1:39 p.m., am not entirely sold on him coming back opening night.
Yeah.
Unless it's absolutely necessary and 100% possible. I mean, would I be happy if it happened? 100%. Do we think that's going to happen? Based on the information, I personally don't think we're going to see him opening night, but that's based on not... any actual information and judging off of Instagram, not
they could also drop a bomb on us though on media day.
That's true.
Media
day is coming up, and man, that'd be dope.
Yeah. See, most people in the comments are in agreement. Like, there's no need for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just agree that it's so much more important that it's like fully healed to the extent that he's not at any risk of re-injuring it unless, you know, a freak happenstance.
And so that workout video came out. We got to talk about the other Clippers workout video that everyone watched.
Love it.
First of all, Rodney Magruder, star of that video?
Oh, yeah. This was like the first thing I noticed. I talked to Charles and I was like, man, I don't know if it was the video editor's decision or if Rodney just had a great run.
He's all over that video.
He's all over it.
I'm into it. It seems good. We got to talk about, and this is a very limited glimpse into what any rotations or playing style or anything like that's going to look like, but is it worth noting that Zubats and Lou Williams had the same amount of blocks on that video?
So, I think it is somewhat like, worth reading into.
That's not good, right?
Zubats gets scored on by, I'm pretty sure, everybody who's at that run.
Except Patrick Patterson, I think.
Yeah, maybe not Patterson.
But yeah, I think him and Trez, it definitely looked like they were going at each other really hard, which is fantastic to see. But it really felt like maybe Trez was getting the better of him in those runs. I mean, Zoo, physically, he looked in shape, which is good. But defensively, I don't know if they did this on purpose or something. Defensively, it didn't. I'm not going to say it bummed me out in any way, because it is just one of those pregame run things, but it didn't give me anything to be psyched about.
Yeah, he also misses a dunk at one point, and it's kind of like, he does throw his hands up for the foul, which to me just makes it doubly bad.
Yeah, he puts it back, but like as soon as I saw that missed dunk, I was like, this, I mean, a bunch of Clippers fans saw this last year. Yeah, Zoo did block Trez on a drive.
Yeah.
Lou had the same amount of blocks in the video. Yeah, as soon as I saw that missed dunk, it was kind of reminiscent of last year when around the rim. He did have two broken fingers last year, one on each hand. I don't know how he even played.
So hopefully that is like that situation is getting better. That's something that I feel like we haven't really talked about enough, maybe, is the improvement that he could make this year in field goal percentage.
Yeah, which
Trez
is
did also block Zoo.
Yeah, Trez seemed like he was down to block everybody.
Trez still plays defense at 80% in a pickup game where maybe everyone else is playing 65.
Yeah, that's a fair point. JJ Redick was on the low post talking fondly of Lob City recently, which was good.
Which is a total 180 from how he was before.
It's really sad.
I think it's one of those things where it definitely got
kind of blown out of proportion.
It got blown out of proportion, and like I think it's a little bit harder to separate yourself from something when it ended poorly, I would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just feel like it ended really pretty poorly with everyone, I think, not really getting along anymore.
Yeah, he bailed. I mean, he said we really effed up. He associated leaving the Clippers with having the grass isn't always greener and you don't know what you got till it's gone vibe.
That's very surprising to me.
Dude, he just sounded like genuinely bummed. Yeah. He said he's made amends with Doc, DJ, Chris Paul, and Jamal. Left Blake Griffin off that list.
Oh, interesting.
Lowe asked him about it and he was like, I just haven't had time to sit down with him. Well, that feels kind of like an LA bail is what that feels
That's
like.
Kind of interesting to me because I would think of at least the three of CP, DJ, and Blake. Blake would be the easiest one to apologize and move on with. Just like given his general demeanor.
His vibe and everything. That's a good call. It was interesting he left it off. I'm sure they'll make amends, but.
Or maybe DJ, you know? You match, you move on.
You match your bowls and you get out of there. Someone commented asking on the stream if we're going to talk about the NBA rules regarding the 30-minute increase for announcing lineups instead of 10 in terms of injuries. All for it.
Does this only affect Steve Kerr?
I am all for this rule. If you just general fandom aside, it's so much better than knowing 10 minutes before if a guy is going to play. You kind of know what more to expect a half hour out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it makes sense. I think, why not make it 24 hours?
well, I think that's fair. Injuries. 30 minutes.
You should know.
I like it because, first of all, no one...
Definitely helps with fantasy. Love that.
Yeah, someone commented that on the stream. It also, no one was submitting it 10 minutes. It always felt like it was last minute.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know lineups before. And just from the perspective of people who come out with a daily podcast, having the 30 minute is so much easier than 10.
I guess. I mean,
remember when
I think
played?
It should be 24 hours, and if the player gets injured in that window, they still have to start.
You're just taking a draconian. Hey, you're injured, you gotta start. Because there was all those issues last year with injury reporting in general. You know, we played the Lakers that one day. LeBron and Kuz, I think, were scratches.
Yeah.
And then they just ended up playing.
Somebody commented on the stream that it's the NBA looking out for degenerate gamblers.
With sports betting now legal,
I like it.
That genuinely might be true. I think this may be a betting thing. It helps with lines. It doesn't help things move a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm all for it. Anytime you can force teams to actually, like, be on top of their injuries, I think
it's
great.
For sure.
The NBA...
Also, like, you're just not hiding anything from anybody. You're a shitty team if you're flummoxed because you thought that somebody wasn't going to start from the other
team. Damn it.
So you made an entire game plan 10 minutes before a game.
Minus that person.
Minus
that
person.
That's truly insane. Coming up after this, we have some... we got to deal with these two heavy-hitting, out-of-left-field questions we got from Marquise Brown.
I'm ready.
We're going to be talking some Joakim Noah, possibly. All that coming up more after this.
All right, so what are these questions that you've been raving about?
Marquise Brown digitally punched me in the face with these questions, in a good way. He said, there's a lot to process in these. We all know that the Clippers are going to be active during the trade deadline. What players are you willing to trade and for who? And the giant follow-up.
No, let's just adjust this one first. This is already a huge one.
Okay, so a lot to unpack here. Are the Clippers going to be active at the trade deadline? Do you think that as of today?
No. I'm of the opinion that if we're active at the trade deadline, we've been really active the past 2 years. If we're active at the trade deadline this year, something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, I think the activeness in the last two trade deadlines
was to get to where we are now, to get a roster where you can kind of stand pat and hopefully at least be competitive for 2 to 4 years and then, you know, assess from there. But I would be really surprised. I also just...
We don't have anything to trade.
Yeah.
That can be removed, that the piece coming back, to me, would be equivalent.
Yeah.
Because the pieces... I would imagine that most people would think we were looking for are a distributing point guard and a starting center, starting caliber center.
For sure.
Or something like that. The second part of this question is, what players are you willing to trade? I'm not willing to trade anybody on this team with how the fit and everything seems to look right now.
So if the thing is for me is, I don't really see us making like a role player trade. You know, like trading out a few few rotation guys, like say Jamichael Green and I don't know, like Mo Harkless or somebody for another kind of guy.
I would see
us going for a name maybe, but I still just don't think that we have the assets to make it happen. But somebody else commented on the stream.
No draft picks.
like I said at the top of the segment, like unless something isn't working, I just don't see us, like I don't see the necessity there to make a trade. When Charles and I were kind of chewing on this question earlier, I thought the idea of like maybe trading for Lowry is really interesting just because like his passing game is still really good. Solid defender. He kind of fits in with the identity of the team. But just the amount that you'd most likely have to give...
All of our depth.
I just don't think would be worth it. I mean, you're looking at a package of Shamit for sure. Combination of Jamichael Green. You can't give up you can't give up a center if you don't have one coming back. So you got to make the money work, I think you'd also have to maybe include Mo Harkless.
It seems like such a confounding situation. We're in the situation where we have such a deep bench... Or such a deep team in general, but can't lose anybody. You know,
I kind of agree.
In a good way.
I kind of agree. I think that at least 10 guys deep, every piece to me is really pretty essential.
Mm-hmm. They have a select job. We're of a specialized lineup.
And the thing is, anything of value that we would have to give up, I mean...
Is youth.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The biggest value we have, what I think in terms of trade pieces, is Shamit. He's our most valuable trade piece.
For sure. But the thing is still, even with Shamit, if you want an NBA star, you got to send out more because make the contracts match.
It's a lot. That one had us thinking. The follow-up was, if the team requires Kevin Love, where does he fit on the team? Does he start at the four, and who do we trade away? I don't think we require Kevin Love. I think he would maybe start. But I think to trade away, I mean, like we said, I think it'd be a similar package for Love as it would be for Lowry. The Cavs are a rebuilding team, so they would want youth.
Yeah.
We don't really have any draft picks to give.
What if a man shows out and then him plus Shamit can get you the moon?
I just want man to show out.
Someone on the stream is commenting PBEV equals point guard. I hope so. So just as a quick aside... I think that his assist game is going to be much better this year because how couldn't it? Anyone that he gives the ball to, with the exception of Zubats, is like just almost a guaranteed bucket from most places on the floor. So I don't know. I think his assist game could be better. Somebody said on the stream, like they proposed a trade of Harkless, J-Rob, and Zubats for Steven Adams. I'm not a fan.
I don't know, man.
Steven Adams, still young, looks old on the court. I like his game a lot. It's just somehow even more, it's, I don't know, it's kind of limited.
I think it's limited too, and I think they seem to really want to see what Zoo can do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this year is like a prove it year for Zoo, but I think it's a we want you to make a jump year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if there's something there, maybe we cool off on Zubats a little bit. Dave Campbell asked a great question in terms of our depth. This is something we've never thought about. Do you think that the Clips have built an English soccer style roster with the intention of playing down to 15 with the built-in load management? English Premier League teams can play up to 4 games a week and regularly change up lineups to manage player loads.
Wow.
I think that's exactly what we're doing, and you nailed it. Like, yeah. This is a great question because I think the answer is just 100% yes. We're not going to start like a random starting five, I don't think.
No. I think it'll be pretty set unless one of the two stars are out.
Yeah, but we're going to see like that minutes distribution we saw last year. You know, Trez playing starter level minutes, Lou playing starter level minutes, and yeah. Shamit's going to play starter level minutes too when he's off the bench. That's a great question. It's a great way to think about it too. Matt Chonger asked a couple questions. We're going to get to the more serious one first right now. Do we think the Clippers have any all-star nods besides Paul George and Kawhi?
Ooh, this is interesting.
I don't think so, and that's because of league disrespect, not because anyone's not good enough.
I don't know. We're going to have a lot more nationally televised games this year.
Oh, good point.
I think Montrez could have an... If he has,
that'd be great.
If he has a big jump or can stay consistent like he did last year, to me, that's worth a nod. I don't know about voters. I think that could change things.
Yeah.
I'd also like to start seeing like six men and people coming off the bench as being all-stars.
That'd be dope.
Just because...
Like a true six man. Yeah.
Yeah. So
just because the games are annoying when it's all the great players and it's 198 to 197.
Yeah, for sure. What about you? Any other all-star that you could see?
I mean, it's hard, but I think we split too many votes.
I do too. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really difficult.
With the way this, and like I just said, with the way that the team handles minutes, someone on the stream is saying Lou. I definitely think Lou could be.
But I think he should be, for sure, but I don't think that he will.
I think there's just too much to get split. Maybe people will give him a shout-out because it's close to his, you know, last season, theoretically.
There's just so many damn good guards, too.
Yeah, I was going to say Shamit if he has an absurd year, but there's too many good guards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Christian Martinez asked, who on our team do you guys think will lead in steals, blocks, and points at the end of the season? Well, steals, I mean, it's either going to be Paul George or Kawhi. Right? Like, Paul George was top five last year.
Yeah, I think it'll... Yeah, that's fair. I'd toss Pat Bev in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We might have, conceivably, 3 guys in the top 10 for steals per game next year. That's going to be fantastic. Points. I think with load management, it might be Paul George. I think Paul George might be the pick up a tiny bit of slack as well as being the superstar when Kawhi is out. I think it might be Paul George.
I think Paul George will have to carry a heavier scoring load during the regular season. I think in the playoffs we'd probably see a switch to that being more Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. Playoffs, I think it's going to be Kawhi.
But yeah, I do agree with you. I think during the regular season, Paul George is going to like take some of the burden off of other guys.
We saw him do it in OKC.
Yeah.
Did it great.
He's very comfortable doing that. He's very comfortable being a scorer. Yeah, we'll see.
Blocks? Who do you got?
Blocks? Man.
I'm saying,
going Trez.
I was going to say, I think Trez, too. I think he gets those mismatches, and so I think he's going to hopefully feast on that situation.
Yeah.
I hope it's Zoo. If it's Zoo, I'd be psyched.
If it's Zoo, I mean...
If Zoo can average
you know
one
what?
More block,
I'm gonna flip flop and I will go Zoo just because I love his intensity. I do love the way that he contests everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping he makes a big jump this year, guys. I feel like we've been down on him. I'm really hoping the best.
Yeah, I hope the best too. But if he can average just one more block per game than he has so far in Clippers warm up hype videos, I would be ecstatic. coming up after this, we have some definite off-season type questions to get to from some fantastic listeners. We'll get to that in just a second. All right, so we're in the off-season Twitter Tuesday section, I think, firmly.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Chenny.
Are we going to address the other thing that everyone's talking about?
The article?
Yeah.
All right, there's a garbage article written about how the Lakers, one of their three
I'm not even going to cite the source. It's so unreliable.
About one of the three advantages the Lakers have over the Clippers is that they have more depth.
Yeah, and they cited if two of the All-Star players go down, it'd be very hard for them to stay ahead. Yeah, if two All-Stars go down from any team,
they're screwed.
Show me one that's won.
And we have the best bench in the league last year. We added more people. Oh, you got your clicks. Ryan, get the hell out of here with this article. All right,
that's all we want.
That's all we want to talk about. Moving on. Loyal listener Chenny John asked, which Clipper will be the snazziest dresser this season? Follow-up.
What was that?
I got a frog in my throat. Follow-up, will he have gotten his out-hit from Indochino?
Well, the answer to B is yes, absolutely. There's no place better to go than Indochino.
Snazziest dresser is going to be Trez.
Ooh, I like that. He does custom, like, kind of jerseys and stuff,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. He had the Charlie Conway jersey. It's going to be Trez.
He had the Average Joe's jersey, which I thought was really underrated.
He had a Jersey Mike's baseball jersey, which is still the rarest piece of clothing I've ever seen. Someone on the stream was commenting, RIP Shea. Yes, Shea will be the young drip god next year.
I think I'm also going to go Paul George, and I think that he could go it in, like, an understated kind of way. I've said this before. I want to see top to bottom linen. I want to see straw hats. I think that he could have a good dress game. You know who it definitely won't be?
Who?
It won't be Kawhi and it won't be Zoo.
Bro, what if it is Kawhi? We saw the shirt he wore at the press conference. Everyone saw the shirt he wore at the press conference, bro. He's wearing Affliction from 09.
Like, Terrence Mann, someone is saying. That's an interesting one. I could buy that.
We'll see. We'll keep a snazziest addressed Clippers doc going after this.
Oh, we'll keep it going.
Matt Chong, his first question that he asked, if each Clippers player were a breakfast dish, which would they be? We're just going to do the perceived starting lineup for opening night. We're going to do Bev, Sham, Kawhi, Jamichael, and Zoo.
Okay.
He has already stated that Landry Shamet is avocado toast.
Interesting.
I think that's fair. Bev is...
Bev to me is eggs over hard, to bacon, and breakfast potatoes. Not hash browns, but breakfast potatoes.
That's fair.
It's a little more filling. There's a little more meat to it.
Kawhi is orange juice and Cheerios.
Really?
Yeah. Gets the job done. You know.
I was going to say Kawhi is just like a classic Benedict.
Classic Benedict? I think that's too fancy.
All right.
That's too much prep. Jamichael Green?
Jamichael Green
is, and I'm going to say this in a nice way, potatoes as a whole, because they're so versatile in the breakfast, they can kind of do whatever you want. They always show up at the right time.
I was going to go classic flapjacks, choose your topping. Maybe it's fruit. Maybe
he is versatile.
Maybe it's cheese. Maybe you're going more savory. Anything you want. Well, he could be crepe or flapjacks. Your choice.
And Zubats is a giant piece of French toast.
Ooh, I like it.
Is that wrong? I think that's fair. Someone said Will is plain oatmeal. I mean...
Fair.
So we got to talk about the... people have asked about the Joakim Noah workout.
Yep.
Based off of his father...
I still don't know if he's... I don't know.
I don't know. We have no update on that.
I don't know. Are workouts ever happening, or do we just hear about
it? Yeah, I don't really get it. We'll have more news when his father breaks it, I guess. Yannick.
People are laughing at me for saying flapjacks instead of pancakes.
You're an old ass man. We're waiting on the Noah news. If it happens, it happens. Last time we heard about a workout, Joe Johnson told a reporter he was working out for the Clippers. We don't know if it happened. He got signed. Who knows? Any news when we get it. Based on what his father said, it was going to go down. So we'll have news on that. M. Jones Vandy asked, so the Cleveland Browns put out an intro where they did the Friends intro.
Okay.
It was very good. He said, who would star in the Clippers version of the Friends intro? Kawhi, not even in the building for this.
Is Kawhi Ross?
No, Kawhi, I think Kawhi's Gunther, but he's good at his job.
Gotcha. I don't even know who that is. I don't know the show well
It's kind of disrespectful. Gunther's just quiet and kind of weird. I mean, it's obviously going to be the rookies. We're going to have Terrence Mann in there. We're going to have Fee in there. They're just very photogenic. Someone saying Lou Will is Joey. Lou Will is absolutely Joey. So Lou Will's in there. Who's Chandler?
Zoo is absolutely Ross, people are saying.
Yeah, Zoo's Ross. Great. Who's Chandler? Who jokes a bunch?
I don't.
Man, Sindarius would have been a great Chandler. That would have been a good call.
I could maybe see Trez.
Let's do Trez as Chandler. Who's Monica? Very type A?
I think that might be Paul George, actually.
All right, Paul George might be Monica. Guys, we're going to have to dedicate a whole hour and a half for this, so I hope you're strapped in.
He watches, like, every episode. He's
watched. Bro, I've seen every episode. What do you want me to do? I don't know if I don't know who would be the comprehensive stars, but I will say the Clippers media team needs to do more stuff like this.
Who would be Phoebe?
Who's kind of the weird one?
Yeah.
That might be Kawhi, actually.
Yeah.
Kawhi might be Phoebe.
I could see Kawhi as maybe a Phoebe.
Oh, man.
And what's Jan Aniston's character?
That's Rachel.
And who's that?
Rachel might be kind of high maintenance. Man.
Maybe she would be one of the rookies?
I'm going to think
about
this.
Hear me out. Maybe that's Shamet. He ran away from his wedding with the Sixers and to start a life anew with what became his new best friends, which is the Clippers.
I think we got it all nailed right now, guys. people are mad. I don't know. Let us know what you think. This will probably be the most talked about segment we've done. Want to give a shout out to someone from the UK named Max Power. If that's your real name, hats off to your parents.
Wait a minute. Any relation to Cat Power?
I don't think so. He didn't even ask a question. He just wanted to feel seen, which we can all identify with, I think, sometimes. He said, last time you answered a question from another UK-based Clippers fan, and I'm jealous. I want you to read this out just so I know there is evidence somewhere that I was following the Clippers from over here before the dynasty began, and I'm not just on the bandwagon. First of all, thanks for listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second of all, appreciate that the dynasty is beginning. I love your prose.
Yes.
Third of all, man, the bandwagon's open.
Absolutely.
You know, even if you were a bandwagoner, it's all good. We're fine with that.
You know
that.
What we call you? Family.
We call you family. All right. I was gonna say fans, but that's fair too. Anything else? What are we gonna do if Noah doesn't work out?
I don't know.
Are we even gonna know if it happened?
We're not gonna know if it happened. If it doesn't, if he doesn't get signed, we won't know if he worked out.
I don't think
that they would release footage.
There was an interesting tweet that I saw from someone. There was a workout video a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago. It had Zoo dunking, and they cut it with intercut with him dunking in a game, and it looked very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, if you turn this up loudly, you can hear Joakim Noah yelling in the background.
Really?
I turned it up. I have no idea. I'll try and find the tweet.
You gotta play it backwards?
You gotta play it backwards to hear Joakim Noah is coming forwards. Anything else you want to talk about? Do we miss anything that people wanted to discuss?
Dream.
Someone just asked us to dream a little dream for them on the comments. We will dream a little dream of a championship. Tag me if you find it, please. I will do my best with that. Oh, someone's commenting it was Pat, not Joakim. Yeah, that makes total sense. I don't know how someone could have not seen Joakim Noah and then been like, oh, that's his yell. That's from very good hearing. That about wraps it up for us.
On the pod. We'll stick around on the stream.
We're going to hang out on the stream. One of the things you're missing, if you're maybe not tuning in every Tuesday at 1:30. Tomorrow, we're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday for you.
Oh, yeah.
As well as whatever the hell else happens between now and then in Clipperland.
Yeah, who knows?
Thank you for tuning in. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.
Might have to change that to William Flapjacks Updike.